views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women, and Happy New Year. I can't believe in 2 days it's 2017. We're going into new year, lots of changes, lots of uncertainty. You know, everybody's feeling it. And so I just wish everybody just has to be steady on their feet and to have a great year. 2016, you know, I think for a lot of people was a little rough from people I've talked to. So I'm holding for a fabulous 2017 and a lot of movement of people coming together, and that's what's needed. January 21st is the Women's March in Washington, D.C., and also in many cities. I'm planning on participating in Seattle. You know, it's time women stand up together. I think it's going to be huge numbers this year, you know, for us to be visible and make a statement for women and to show our strength collectively, because there's so much power in numbers. And speaking of being in a powerful place, come to Seattle on February 16th to 20th for our 25th conference. It's been 25 years. We invite you to come share your stories, be a witness for others, which is very powerful. And let's just gather together to express what is important for women and how we can support each other. Also like to invite you, it's the end of the year, you have another day to for your last minute year-end donations to consider Women of Wisdom. And you could contribute to our crowdfunding campaign. Your donations allow us to continue the work of raising feminine consciousness. And that's so important now in our current situation, too. So you find out more on our website, womenofwisdom.org. And also the 31st is the deadline for our featured guest early bird pricing. We have Lori McCammon, author of Enough, Randy Reagan, author of A Year Living Mindfully, and Rebecca Gordon, Your Body and the Stars. All of them I've interviewed on my show, and their workshops are going to be fantastic. So check out the full schedule on our website, womenofwisdom.org. Look for Conference 2017. So today I'm going to introduce you to our WOW presenter, Kellyanna Gerard. She is giving a workshop, Spirit Song, Sing Your Warrior Song. She is an American Neo-Celtic singer and songwriter. And Kellyanna's powerful performance of song and chant, inspired by myth, magic, sacred places in ancient times, brings to life the stories and sagas of the gods and goddesses, and honoring the earth and the ancestors. Since 2003, Kellyanna has performed in 10 countries on 3 continents, and she developed the Warrior Queen Chronicles trilogy. She's writing books now, inspired by her song Warrior Queen from her 2004 debut album, Lady Moon. And so she has published her first book, Tapestry of Dark and Light. And she'll be giving the workshop, the Spirit Song Workshop, is Sunday, February 19th at the conference. So welcome, Kellyanna.
Thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm great. Looking forward to having you in Seattle again. Kellyanna is not new to Women of Wisdom. She has performed before at WOW, and we're so happy to have her back. So I want to hear your story, you know, how you became a singer-songwriter and what called you to that, you know, and what age did you know that was your, you know, you're a singer?
I, according to my parents, was singing before I could talk. And I started, I mean, I've been singing my entire life. It's always just been my pretty much happy place. And I was, you know, performing at the age of 7, from the age of 7 on. So I've always just known that, you know, singing was for me. And I played in played flute in the school band up until, I think, 8th or 9th grade. And I sang in the chorus and choir from 2nd grade till I graduated high school. So I got a lot of vocal training singing with a choir. And I played rock music, you know. I was playing in the pubs and things, doing rock and roll. And of course, you know, doesn't go very far when you're doing that kind of work. And in 2002, I met Shauna Carroll and opened up a whole new genre of music for me to start looking into. I started writing song and chant inspired by the gods and the goddesses and their stories. And within 1 year of releasing my first CD, I was international. My music went around the world really quickly. And so that was how I kind of got into doing the goddess and the spiritual-based music. I was inspired by some wonderful, powerful women that I met, and it just really became my path.
Yes, and you're speaking to that calling, you know, the woman, that desire for that language of the goddess and the, you know, the feminine language, that feminine consciousness that, you know, is hard to find in our culture of, you know, pop music and all the music that we have. And so it's great that you're successful in it and that, you know, you've become an international star, and not that you want to be a star, but you're being a voice for women through your song. Don't you feel that?
That's a bonus. Yeah, that's definitely a bonus. The fact that my music has gone to every corner of the globe. I sell music in Thailand and in Indonesia and Saudi Arabia. I mean, there's no limits to where the music is going online and with the digital sales. I feel so grateful that my music speaks to so many people in so many different ways. And it isn't exactly why I do the songs or the music, but it's a great bonus. You know, if we're all kind of in the same spiritual place or, you know, working within that same network of gods and goddesses and, you know, honoring the feminine divine, I think there's something within some of the ancient stories that speak to everybody. And one story may speak to some person and the other story may not. So I like to draw from all kinds of mythologies and spiritual stories when I write my own music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're saying gods and goddesses, and it's that's the balance too, the feminine and the masculine, and bringing them together. Is that a part of your...
I believe in the balance. Yeah, in my personal practice, the balance of masculine and feminine is very important to me. I feel like with a monotheistic, you know, God taking over a couple thousand years ago, that things went out of balance with the feminine. And I don't think that in our goddess movement, and this is just my opinion, it may differ from my neighbor right next to me, but my opinion is that instead of pulling it even further out of balance and just really concentrating on the goddess, I feel my own personal work is to try to bring balance back. So I work with both the gods and the goddesses in my spiritual practice and in my music. I like that balance. That to me is creation.
Mm-hmm. And there is a call for, there's, you know, I think for some women emphasizing the goddesses and emphasizing woman's power because it is out of balance to bring it back equal, you know, to that equal place. There, some, you know, some people feel that they need to focus on the woman and also for women to own that power because we also have discarded it. You know, it's not just the patriarchy or men or that we feel like men have. It's we have to step up into our own power and realize that strength of women and the importance of a goddess, not just God.
Yeah.
So there's that too. And it's great. I think at some point then there becomes, when you have studied that and embraced it, I think then, like for myself, I can then go to that, you know, God and goddess place and feel that equilibrium. And so that's great that that's your path and what you share. But you have come to work with women as being in your purpose and your passion. And why don't you share a little bit about that?
Sure. And let me just say that on my CDs, the majority, about 90% of my songs will be goddess-based. I've kind of made a dedication that I would any CD that I release, I will do a minimum of one song dedicated to the god. So, you know, my balance is definitely not 50-50. You know, I'll have a song or a chant or something to the god to honor him, but I am mm-hmm. dealing mostly in the feminine. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to state that yeah. it isn't a 50-50 thing on my disc. The work with women has been so incredibly rewarding. I never saw myself as a teacher before, but I've been teaching a lot over the last 12 years. And what I do is I work with people helping to free their voice, really. So I'm working with women and getting groups of people singing and healing through the voice, basically, is what I've been working with for in groups. I'm talking from 100 to 6 people all over the world. They're amazingly powerful and transformative for me and for the women that are involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you speak about that voice. I can see how song can bring forth that, you know, it's important for women to be visible and to be vocal. And sometimes we can learn that and claim it by finding our voice through song. And so that's a real mm-hmm. gift that you're giving people.
It is because many women have somehow had their voices taken away from them in their lifetime. I run into it over and over and over again, where somehow a woman had been stifled somewhere in the past. And mm-hmm. I really work strongly with people claiming their voice. It is our most individual form of self-expression and our most powerful magical tool for intention. And so I think I just help. The voice is already there. I just help people to kind of find it again and reclaim it and be able to own it, really.
Yes, that's what it's all about. Well, mm-hmm. this is Chris Stainis, Voices of Women. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more with Kellyanna.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Beyond being this amazing neurologist, inventor, author, Dr. Dan Cohen has been called to look at technology and look at personal and spiritual development and merge these together as technology uses the healing and psycho-spiritual effects of synchronized sounds, vibrations, electromagnetic fields, and how that interacts with us in our nervous system in what we're calling the Soltech Chair.
The Soltech Lounge induces profound levels of relaxation that transition over time into deep meditative states. The synchronized sound, vibration, and magnetic field induce these states. The subject doesn't have to work at it.
To learn more, go to SoltechWellbeing.com. That's S-O-L-T-E-C, Wellbeing.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to The Michael Shane Show the third Tuesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and connect with the ascended beings to raise your vibration and manifest the life you desire. Get ready to receive healing through the transphysical mediumship of Reverend Michael Shane and the ascended beings. Visit MichaelShane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, Shane.com, and call 425-971-6632 to schedule your full healing session now.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm speaking with Kellyanna Girard, who's presenting the workshop Spirit Song, Sing Your Warrior Song at Woman of Wisdom, and it's Sunday, February 19th. Kellyanna, please share your website and what you have there to offer for people.
Sure. I've got two main sites that I'm working under right now, and one is my music site, which is kellyanna.com, and it's K-E-L-L-I-A-N-N-A.com. And then another website that I have is my book website, which is warriorqueenchronicles.com. And that also has a store there where you can buy all the books and the music, as well as my music site, Kellyanna. So those are the two main places to find me, besides searching me out on Facebook, which I'm very easy to find on there.
Yeah, great. And I really highly recommend her CDs. I know many people here in Seattle, Woman of Wisdom, have purchased her CDs, and they're fabulous. So
thank you.
Let's get into, because your workshop's about the warrior song. And so what does it mean to you to be a warrior woman?
Well, let me just tell you that this workshop was created. I've done spirit song workshops, which are very popular in Seattle because, you know, many of my fellow teachers are there. But it's a practice of vocal healing and release. When I went into tour in Europe and the UK this summer, a good friend of mine in Holland, who I did a few festivals there, I was there for a month, she asked me to create a workshop around the warrior work because we were helping to promote my book as well. So I created a spirit song workshop that's all based around giving your inner warrior voice. So I had two sessions there in Holland, and I had 50 women in each session, and they were unbelievably powerful. So when I talk about being a warrior, I was born a warrior. I have a warrior spirit and a warrior soul, without a doubt. And it caused me a lot of trouble in my youth, trying to, you know, dance gracefully with this warrior, I guess, would be the best way to put it. And it took me years. And I really didn't start feeling comfortable with that side of myself till I was well into my 30s. I want women to celebrate that which makes them strong. And to me, that's, you know, part of your warrior spirit, the warrior inside of you. Many of us had our warriors squashed when we were young because of how society is. If you are a woman born into this life and time as a warrior, unless you're in the military or some sort of criminal justice or something, there really is very little outlet for a woman who is a warrior. You know, and I think my outlet, a lot of it has become the song, you know, and to process those emotions. And being a warrior isn't about rage. It isn't about anger. You know, it's more about your greatest strengths. You know, I'm a very loyal person. I'm fiercely protective of the people that I love. The warrior inside of me, she comes forth and she can handle any situation. You know, there could be 10 huge guys around me and I will take charge of the situation without thinking second thoughts about it. I mean, that's my personality and that's the warrior. She will handle things. I can always trust her. But I don't need her there with her sword and her shield every single second of the day. You know, I need to be able to learn how to call her up when she's needed. And that's where I've gotten the balance finally at nearly 50 years old. I've almost got that balance down now, dancing with my warrior. I really want women to honor what makes them strong and not to let society put bad connotations on strong women. If you are as capable, confident, aggressive as any man in business, as a woman, you are labeled. There are so many labels given to women like that. I've heard every single one of them directed my way. mm-hmm. you know? And I just at one point just let it stop me. I'm like, I'm so sorry if my confidence and capabilities are making this person over here uncomfortable. I'm not going to diminish myself anymore so that they feel more comfortable about themselves. I want to be all that I am. And that's what I'm trying to do with work with these warrior workshops. So women can take every single aspect of ourselves because and then we become whole. Because society really makes us, you know, put a squash on different pieces of ourselves as women.
Yeah, well, that's so true. And that's so, you know, that's such an example. You're setting such an example because it's very hard for women to come forth with that strong voice out of fear of being rejected, fear of being, you know, and rejected and harassed and
criticized
yes. by other women, you know, and it's time women need to stop. We need to be supporting other women. It's like, it's not this competition of, oh, this one's getting ahead of the pack. She can't go there. Bring her down. We can't have that happen, you know, and that's got to stop. We need to be supporting women and applaud women who are willing to step up into leadership and stop this name calling and mm-hmm. and all that goes on. And you're right. I mean, you can look at what happened to Hillary in this, you know, 2-year time of going through all the election stuff. And it's, you know, regardless if she won or not, we don't need to treat women that way.
I've heard her described as a good old boy in a skirt. You know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. that isn't insulting, right? It's like she because she's strong and capable, intelligent, we're going to call her a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've had people say, I'm, you know, call me manly, you know, because I'm strong, because I'm confident, because I'm capable, you know? And I was like, hey, you know, little man, I'm sorry if you're not feeling great about yourself right now. But they did the same thing with Hillary. They called her a man in a skirt because she's strong and she's capable and outspoken. And it's not just her. It's women all over America and all over Europe are dealing with the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's even a little worse in Europe than it is.
Really? Here. I thought it was better. I mean, because I know like in Scandinavia, they have laws where like 43 or 46% have to be on corporate boards and have to be in the government legislature or whatever it is. And so it seems like there's less of that.
Maybe in Sweden, maybe in Scandinavia, definitely not in Holland or Switzerland and the Germanic places I was.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I did find a lot of people in Holland had to come around to celebrating that strength. It took them a while. I had to convince them that it was okay. I had to convince these women that I went around the circle to ask people what they thought their greatest strengths were. I said, now, ladies, this isn't bragging on yourself. This is just asking a question and answering. What do you feel is your greatest strength? And women had a hard time answering mm-hmm. it, Chris. They were like, this isn't bragging, right? I'm like, no, you're not bragging. We're celebrating what makes you beautiful and strong. You're not bragging here. Nobody's going to criticize you. I had to coax them.
Yeah, it's so hard for women.
What they thought their greatest strength was.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but I spent 3 hours with both groups, and I had women that were absolutely transformed from the work that we were doing. And I literally fell into it by accident. I had no idea how much the work was needed until I was doing these workshops. Mm-hmm. And then I ended in Switzerland, and I did a 2-day women's vocal retreat, and the second day was all about the inner warrior voice. And again, women were absolutely empowered and transformed by it. So,
yeah. Well, you're going to be doing that in Seattle, but yeah,
yes,
that's so powerful. So we get to have that in February in Seattle. Well, mm-hmm. Speaking of which, you said this kind of came from your book. So you have this book on the, tell us about the book.
Okay. The book is a trilogy called The Warrior Queen Chronicles. The first book is Tapestry of Dark and Light. It's fantasy fiction. We've got some great Norse mythological stories woven in. I kind of, once again, in my slippery way of like slipping on banana peels, fell into doing a book trilogy with a woman from Australia by the name of Kali Cargill, who I met at the Australian Goddess Conference and then again at the Glastonbury Goddess Conference in England. And I told her about my idea for this book trilogy, and she and I right away started writing it. So that was just one of those things. It was very unexpected, but it seemed like the perfect next thing to do. And one thing I forgot to mention about the book is, like, the book series was inspired by a song on my first CD. The song is called The Warrior Queen, and it is about a Viking queen who dies on the battlefield. And I basically begin the story at her death. She is tethered to her body and watching as they prepare her body to bring her home and burn her on a funeral pyre. So she's basically tethered to her body and narrating what's happening to her as the song goes along.
Well, it sounds fascinating. Well, we're going to have to close now. Thank you, Kellyanna, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And yeah, and have everybody check out her workshop at the Woman of Wisdom website, womanofwisdom.org, her workshop, Spirit Song, Sing Your Warrior Song. So we will be come back after a commercial. We'll come back, and we're going to be talking with Victory Longquist, who is at Standing Rock. We're going to find out what's happening there.
Join in on one of the most life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service. In each of our upcoming shows, you're going to have the opportunity to join thousands as we focus healing energy to elevate and balance our world. This is a chance for like-minded individuals like you and I to join forces with lightworkers all over the globe as we light the way for peace, harmony, and a world driven by love. You'll also learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine, author of The Joy Chronicles, invites you to join her and millions of others working with the Galactic Masters, Angels, and the Ashtar Command as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, E-L-A-I-N-E.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Suzanne Evans. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijil on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A-method.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm very excited today to interview Victory Longquist. She is part of the founding team of Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council. Victory is a sun dancer, former Buddhist nun, unity chaplain, minister, healer, energy worker. She has been working with Native, First Nations, Maori, and Aboriginal peoples across the world. And Victory has worked with the 13 Indigenous grandmothers, learning water ceremony from grandmother Agnes Baker Pilgrim, And she's one of the water protectors. She's a former firefighter, current national emergency medical technician, wilderness remote emergency medical technician. And so very experienced to be working with the medical healing team at Standing Rock. In addition to that, she's also been a consultant for the legal team. And if you may see her posts on Facebook, she's been sharing a lot on Facebook of what is really happening there and been an inspiration to many of us of the work she's done and the courage to remain there now in December with minus 50 degree weather. So welcome, Victory.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell us what drew you to go to Standing Rock?
I think a number of things. One is I've been working with Indigenous peoples for a long time, and they put the call out. I also do water ceremony, and water is definitely an element I strongly connect to. And so protecting the water and having it be Indigenous peoples, I really felt the call. It really pulled on my heart, and I try to listen to that the best I can.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then describe, how was it when you first arrived there?
Yeah, it's very different than it is now. Well, it was warm, for one thing. It was, I think it was the end of August, and it was beautiful, and I, could walk around in a t-shirt. And I think at that point, we probably had, 2,000 people there, and it was really in a space of nothing really organized. There wasn't a medic and healer council. In fact, when I arrived at Sacred Stone, there wasn't even a medical tent. That was one of the things that I did. And it was really starting to plant the seeds of getting organized. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was like living in a movie. I would wake up and there were, teepees silhouetted by sunrise and young men galloping by on horseback, bareback, with their long brown hair flowing in the wind and their eagle feathers. And you would go to bed with different prayer songs and wake up with different prayer songs. And it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, having worked in the medical tent there, what kind of situations did you encounter?
Then or now or just sort of in general?
Well, in general. Or how has it evolved from then to now? I mean, I'm sure it's kind of changing.
Sure. Well, I mean, a lot has evolved as it does, right? It's organic and grassroots. When I arrived at Sacred Stone, there was just a small 10x10 pop-up tent that had a cardboard sign that said, "Yell medic if you need help," and there was no one staffing it. And so I ended up sort of by circumstance or by happen chance, to staff it and then brought together a team. And we were treating things from burns to sometimes people would be chopping wood and they would get, wood splinters in their eye. We had little ones that would run in the mud and come up with scraped kneecaps. We had everything from diabetes to COPD. We had a couple of head injuries. One gentleman who, was splicing wood and one of the wood came back and struck him right in the head. And so that was the beginning. That was when I was doing more of the clinical. And then as a frontline medic, of course, it's really more like being in war. I mean, so many, especially that backwater bridge night, we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of victims of police brutality. They were shooting them with rubberized bullets. We had tear gas, pepper spray. They were purposely spraying all the water protectors with water. So we had, about 500 cases of hypothermia because it was instantly freezing. Also, the police were aiming for people's hands, heads, and knees. And so we had a lot of gash wounds. We believe they were rubberized bullets rather than rubber bullets. So they were a lot deeper. So often somebody would scream for a medic and, you would see this gentleman that was not only covered in a sheet of ice, but was bleeding profusely from his head. I treated a gentleman that had shrapnel in his eye, that sort of thing.
Yeah, like you said, it was a war zone. And these people were just peacefully demonstrating. They weren't necessarily breaking any laws.
No, no. In fact, you know, some of the things that I think you can see online that I find the most impactful are, for example, the water protectors that this morning at 8 a.m. Had their first trial. All of them were sitting in a prayer circle, literally sitting down praying. And the police officers came over and started beating them with batons and throwing them to the ground and arresting them, including elders with chinupas. We had another case of water protectors in Sweat Lodge. So that's similar to, you know, people being in church or what have you and being ripped out, literally pulled out of the Sweat Lodge and handcuffed, you know, wearing not much more than shorts and wet and freezing. And in the Backwater Bridge incident, it actually would have been impossible for us to be doing anything except standing there praying because they have a huge wall and razor wire. And they were shooting us for our right to assemble and to peacefully pray.
Well, and you've been intimately involved with the Native Americans and involved with their ceremonies even here. How did that come to be? I know you've written about some things.
Well, that's sort of a layered question. I mean, I think, you know, we all have our calling in life, right? And some of us have an affinity to many different things, some to Buddhism, you know, some to Celtic or pagan. For me, it was always the red road, though I wouldn't have known to call it that when I was young. But, you know, a very close connection to nature. And, you know, people would talk about the stars and I would call them my cousins. And I would sit at the beach and speak to the ocean and call her my mother, you know, and just none of these things was I getting from my, you know, parents who are both attorneys listening to NPR, you know, so I really feel like it's my soul. And, you know, a lot of my Native friends say that, you know, I probably was Native last life, but, you know, I don't know that for sure, but, I'll tell you, when I found Buffalo Woman Come Singing by Brooke Medicine Eagle, it was the first time I really felt like there were other people in the world that felt like I did. And it was really about coming home. So I'm really honored to be a non-Native and to be able to take part of these ceremonies and very aware of my white privilege and brothers and sisters have endured and really honored to be of service and be an ally.
Yes, and thank you for that. And I mean, it makes me wonder too about you have two cultures coming together there, you know, non-Native, you know, white people or other nationalities, and the Native and Native Americans, you know, very distinctly different cultures. And so how is it there at Standing Rock with that kind of cultural difference?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, it even goes deeper than that. I mean, besides having non-Natives and Natives, and, you know, you have African-Americans, you have Mexica that have come up from South America with their beautiful dancers and Kapal, and you have Maori that have come from New Zealand that are, you know, doing the Haka on the Backwater Bridge. I mean, all Indigenous peoples and non-Indigenous peoples are coming together. And then on top of that, you have tribes that have been mortal enemies for, you know, as long as we have history books. I mean, you know, the Crow, for example, who sold out the Sioux and were the reason that Custer, you know, massacred all those women and children, the Crow were there, you know, and the Crow and the Sioux have, you know, certainly have not had relations, and here they are praying and in ceremony. You know, you have the seven bands of Sioux who haven't come together since the Battle of Greasy Grass in the 1800s, and they came together in ceremony and formed the Seven Fire Council for Oshetsi-Sakwan, you know. So it's really beautiful. It's really been not only about, I guess that's when you stand for the sacred, that's what happens, right? But it's been a powerful, powerful movement of forgiveness, you know, forgiveness and prayer, returning to that forgiveness and prayer. Whether it's the police shooting at your grandmother who's sitting there praying, or whether it's someone you've hated all your life and your mother is hated and your grandmother is hated, and you have that chance to to make amends and come together unified and stand for what's important.
It's such a beautiful story. And that reminds me, too, that, you know, we all know the veterans came, like 2,000 veterans. And seeing that video of where, I forget his name, but he apologized
Wesley
to the
Clark Jr.
Yes. And he apologized to the chiefs and then they forgave that, you know, the Native American forgave them, and so many tears. And, you know, that's just a historical event.
Right. And I actually was the liaison for the veterans, between the veterans and Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, and then sort of the liaison between veterans and just non-veterans. And we actually had 5,500 veterans come. And it was a lot more than expected. And somehow I ended up emceeing that very ceremony that you're talking about. And what is really relevant about that is that Leonard Krodog, who's the gentleman that you see in the wheelchair in the ceremony, is a very powerful spiritual leader. And as you may know, the Sundance, the Lakota Sundance, was banned. It was illegal for a long time. And to my knowledge, one of the very first Sundances was held by that man, Leonard Krodog, who had to live a life where he saw, you know, children taken and went to boarding school and all the abuse was done. And so what an epitome, right, of someone who has been abused by non-natives. And to have Wesley Clark Jr. come forward with the veterans and take a knee and apologize on behalf of all of us were bawling. And I think the other really beautiful part that happened right after that was that we all stood in line and natives came through and they forgave us. And we all wept and we hugged, and it was more than us, right? Our ancestors were really present.
True. Well, that's an amazing story, and we have to take a break right now. So we'll come back and talk more with Victory Longquist about Standing Rock.
Dr. Bree Gibbs is a fourth-generation high priestess with the knowledge to raise your vibration and conscious creation. Offering a wide variety of services from goddess light and shamanic healing seminars to private reading sessions, Bree works with you so you too can stand in your own power. Isn't it about time you took your life into your own hands? For more information about Bree services and products, visit silvergaia.net. That's silver, G-A-I-A.net.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
The Earth is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light Shamanic Healer Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds and brings forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific for the Silver Gaia Show and live the authentic life.
Hi.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Victory Longquist, who's at Standing Rock. She's been there since August. Victory, is there anything that you can give people, or people can, like your Facebook page, or how they can connect with you, and even how people can donate funds? I know there's still a call for lots of supplies and funds to go to Standing Rock.
Sure. They can find me if they Facebook Victory Moon Longquist. My public page will come up. And they're welcome to do that there. Also, www.victorymoonhealing.com is my website if they'd like to know a little bit more about me personally. Donations are a little tricky right now because Oshati Sakoan has closed and Ocheti Oyate is now open. And I am not sure about their donations and the status of that. So maybe we can post that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know I've seen, call for, supplies that are needed because the weather is so cold.
Yes, freezing.
It's freezing. Okay, so I want to talk now because I know in our communications together, you have talked about the need for a healing center for women at Sacred Stone, which is the camp, and the elders have asked you to help with that. So let's talk about the needs of these women. We hear stories, but you're there, and there's statistics like 85% of the Native women have been abused or have been raped, and the need for women to have that, they don't have any place to go to get support and healing for that.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. But something that's very dear to my heart, because I don't think, most of us women have experienced, unfortunately, some form of sexual assault or abuse in our lives. But I don't think we've ever experienced a culture that we live in where there is so much domestic violence and so much sexual assault, and it happens so much that it actually becomes to a point where the women are actually oppressing the women. So if you have one woman saying, well, she raped me, you actually can get other women saying, well, suck it up. It happens to all of us. Or she just automatically does that to herself. She just sort of sucks it inside. It's very concerning. And I didn't really realize how bad it was until I started doing healings out there. And some of my Native sisters, the stories that they told me of their ribs being broken and being repeatedly violated by family members and other people in their community. One sister who is actually quite a prevalent politician told me she has to bring a gun with her to go check her mail every day, and to live in that kind of a guard and to have your body physically holding all of that all the time, And then I think the other point is that when you are living in a community like that, that have been treated so poorly and is not getting the funds, if a woman is raped, it just looks like she goes to IHS, she gets examined, and then she goes home. But there aren't the funds or the personnel for people to offer these women counseling. How wonderful would it be to offer them acupuncture or kinesiotherapy or energy work or something that they might desire to help them to feel that they are loved, that they are special, and they are sacred. And so when the Rosebud elders asked me to start the medical center, one of the things that we started talking about, and Faith Spotted Eagle has been talking about, and quite a few of the Native women, it's really important to just clarify that Native women are always in the lead, so it's not me creating a women's center, it's me helping to support them. I just wanted to make sure to clarify that. But really being able to bring those healing services to these good women, because women are the water carriers, right? And so when we say that we're standing for the water, we're standing for the sacred, we're standing for the feminine, really, is what's happening. We're saying no more violation, no more pipelines through the water, no more violation of women, no more violation of feminine. And so if we can offer this back to the community, I think it would be a wonderful gift.
Yes. And your point of you are there in support of like they're the lead. This is their community.
Yep.
They're the lead. And you as a white person are there to support that. And that's it's important, you know, I think to know that. And the other thing, the aspect that you brought up once to me is about the sex trafficking camps. And yeah. That was, I hadn't heard that, you know, so what's happening there and how can we help to stop this?
Well, there's a documentary and please forgive me if I've forgotten the woman's name. I want to say it's like Lucy Ling or it's very similar to that. And she did a documentary on basically wherever you find oil worker in working camps, you find sex trafficking victims, women and children. And that's very true. And so it's been happening in North Dakota. It is happening with this pipeline as well. There's always investigation to find out where they're being held. Of course, they're, you know, suppressed because they don't want to be found, right? But they're called DAPL camps. And they basically steal women and children and sex traffic them. And it is a terrible problem. And as some of your, you know, listeners might know, Canada even itself has 1,000 missing Indigenous women, you know. And so a lot of the theory is that these women, too, are being stolen and sex trafficked. And the feeling among the Native community is that they're not cared about because they're Native. And that just hurts my heart. And I think that most of us listening, it probably hurts our heart. And so, it's really about supporting our Native relations and taking the lead to help these women.
Mm-hmm. I know I've heard of stories in other places like Reno or places where there are organizations that are rescuing these women and children and then having them in a safe home and getting them help. Is that kind of what you're looking for?
Yes. I mean, I think there's a number of ways that we could go about this. I mean, one is there's not the funds nor the manpower to go in and find all of these camps. There just isn't. And if you look at the Bakken pipeline, I mean, I think a lot of people aren't aware of this, but they know of DAPL because of this Standing Rock, but they don't realize that it's just one tentacle of this giant octopus that runs all through our country. And if you think about that, every tiny little tentacle, please go Google the Bakken pipeline. Every tentacle has a sex camp, right, of stolen women and children. It's just impossible. There's not enough CIA, FBI. There's just not enough manpower to go in and stop it. And so it's going to have to be a unified force of us. You know, I'm all for kind of like those women in India, you know, who go around with sticks and beat up all the rapists. You know, I mean, I'm not suggesting we go vigilante, but I do think that we need to be the observers in our community of things that are out of sorts of women and children that are looking abused or, you know, maybe don't speak the language or, you know, are in a truck and kept in there or, you know, these kind of signs.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, to come together to help them.
Yeah. I heard there was truck drivers that they've been working on keeping an eye out for women like that might be in a truck or, you know, traveling with another truck driver. And there's actually men truck drivers that are helping in that. And so, yeah, it's for us to keep our eyes open and question, you know, is there something amiss here? Well, there's so much to talk about, and I'm afraid our time is up. I appreciate so much that you're doing, and keep speaking out, Victory, and keep posting on Facebook because you're a voice of what's, you know, it's hard for us to get all the news in the news, as we all know, and to get the real news of somebody who's there and who's really working, and you're connected with the leaders there, and you're connected with the medical town, and you're connected with the legal, you know, you were just in D.C. You went with a group of Native American leaders to Washington, D.C. to meet with Congress, so we didn't even get a chance to talk about that. But so just keep up the good work and know we're all here supporting you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Love and blessings to everyone.
Yes, thank you. Okay, well, it's the end of our show. I'm Chris Stainis. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation, and our 25th annual conference is all launched. It's up on our website. Check out the schedule. It's February 16th to the 20th. Just go to womanofwisdom.org and you can look at the schedule. There's information how to register. And there's information for all the things you can do at the conference. You can walk in the door for free and see the market and the healing temple and the art show and everything. And it's a conference where you can just go to one event or you can go to several events. And evenings are open to men. So come, please join us February 16th through the 20th. So happy new year, everybody, and I'll see you in 2017.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.